Welcome to The Living Word with Chuck Davis.
Matthew 21:33-46, Parable of the Tenants. Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance." And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard this parable, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds because they held him to be a prophet. This parable has so many parallels to God's story of approaching his people through prophets and finally through Jesus. It centers on the guilt and judgment of those who have rejected the prophets in the past and who are rejecting the Son in the present. It's also prophetic in acknowledging that they are going to kill the Son who comes. It's typical of how Matthew writes following Mark with some abbreviations of the story, but he adds this one phrase, "the kingdom of God taken away and given to the Gentiles." We get to see Matthew's leaning towards the nation missional perspective of the gospel of the kingdom. The parable elements are very simple: vineyard owner, stewardship and management, heir. And Jesus, again, uses the rabbinical method. What will happen? And their response is obvious. There's going to be punishment. Now Jesus gets really in their face. "Have you never read the scriptures?" And he quotes Psalm 118, 22, and 23. We need to remember, this is the second time Jesus does this, of challenging them on the reading of the scriptures. Remember, they were proud about their knowledge of the scriptures. And Jesus is now starting to turn the screws a little bit. His hour is coming closer, and so he's not going to pull any punches. In fact, the text tells us they perceived that Jesus was speaking about them. But they're caught in this conundrum. They have fear of the crowds because the crowds were holding Jesus to be a prophet, but they were uncomfortable with Jesus's moving in authority because he's taking their earthly power away. The so what of this passage is we get to see Jesus in his role as prophet, priest, and king. We also see him as the stone, the cornerstone, the headstone, and the stumbling stone. The underlying message of all of this is that there's a judgment coming based on what we do with the Son. Jesus is not going to be reduced to a secondary element. He is the access to the Father. He is the one who brings a full relationship. And there's an element of being lost without knowing this. To speak of lostness today makes people feel very uncomfortable. It almost feels like we're being judgmental. It's not being judgmental. It's shining light on a reality that without relationship with Jesus, we are in serious trouble. And so I don't know where you are today in listening to this. Maybe you're still trying to resolve who Jesus is. I encourage you to name him as he names himself, not merely prophet, not merely priest, but King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And as you do that, invite him to reveal himself to you in fresh ways of the freedom that you would feel in that relationship. If you've been walking with Jesus for a long time, renew that space. To borrow the words of Tim Keller, come back into the throne room of the King, bow down and put your sword before him and say, "Command me, King. I want to know your ways today." And so, Lord, here we are. We offer ourselves to you because you are the one who has offered yourself for us. We know it's your love that first pursues us. And so in response to that, we bow the knee and we look forward to the places that you will take us this day. In Jesus' name, amen.